Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So
ready.
This is St. Louis's news radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
It is 8:33. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with John Hancock and Mike O'Kelly. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
By the way, this is the Wallflowers, right? Jacob Dylan just had a birthday this week, and I think he was 50 or something like that.
Good for him.
I know, it just makes time flies.
I wonder if his dad calls him to sing him happy birthday.
I don't know. All right, stop.
All right,
sound like
it. It was pretty good, though.
Cat being pinned under a tire.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
That was well.
So we heard, we did live coverage for about 15 minutes as Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff unveiled. There are two articles of impeachment against President Trump. And, of course, this will move on to the full House next week, most likely. John Hancock, your thoughts about how the Democrats laid this out and two articles instead of possibly more. What's your feeling there?
Well, I think the politics of this are terrible for the Democrats. You know, they've had the entire field of play for 2.5 months here, and they haven't moved the public opinion needle a titch. And here they're rushing through. They're going to impeach the president. They're going to take the committee vote this week. They're going to take the House floor vote next week. And then it shifts to the U.S. Senate, where Republicans, for the first time, are going to be able to make their case. And I don't see any way that this doesn't end up where a majority of the country opposes removing the president. And we've spent all this time and resources. I think the politics of this are very bad for the Democrats.
Well, I'm glad you're so concerned about what the politics of the Democrats are. What's really bad is that the president's violated the Constitution, and the Democrats are going to point that out. Now, the fact that the matter that the Republicans have become a cult of personality party of Donald Trump, it is what it is. But there is no pushback. He did obstruct justice, and he did obstruct Congress. And so the Republicans are going to have to sit there and say, well, never mind, and let's look the other way. From a political standpoint for the Democrats, this is something Nancy Pelosi had to do. I think the fact that it's limited to just these two charges is probably the smartest thing, because we know the Senate's going to allow this president to do anything he wants, including shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue.
I don't know the answer to this, so I'm just asking this out of ignorance. But when it goes to a trial in the Senate, assuming that that's what will happen, do the Republicans not have to address the actual evidence that was presented in the House? And if so, the witnesses who testified, who witnessed this call and et cetera, are going to say the same thing. So how do the Republicans turn that around?
Yeah, I mean, the plaintiffs here are the folks making the charges. Adam Schiff will lead the case before the U.S. Senate. He'll call whatever witnesses he wants to call. They will be cross-examined. And then the defense will have a chance to bring forth witnesses. And, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know on the president's side. I mean, maybe John Bolton testifies. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Mick Mulvaney shows up. But what is clear is that the Republicans, for the first time, are going to have the ability to shape the contour of this thing. And if they do their job well, the public opinion is going to flow in the direction that this whatever you may think of the underlying behavior. And I think it was a mistake to talk to the Ukrainian president the way Donald Trump did. I don't think it's impeachable. And I think most people will come to that conclusion at the end of that Senate process.
The president has said all along, oh, we'll participate in the House hearing if they have it, and then he didn't. He said he'd participate in the Senate hearings if they did, and he hasn't. He says now, you know, he has said all along he would participate in the trial if it were to happen, and now he won't. I don't know what the rebuttal is to the facts of this, and that's where the White House and the Republicans are in a problem in a quagmire, and that the facts are on the sides of the Democrats.
Well,
he did it.
The facts are that the aid was given to Ukraine. The facts are that Ukraine never called for an investigation of Hunter Biden or Burisma. And, I mean, those are the facts. You can argue about the timing of the decisions and so forth, but those are the facts. It's just not impeachable. Had he actually withheld the aid and not given the aid, you've got a different case to make.
And
there.
This is the problem we are at in our country. We have two sides that are seeing this drastically different.
Right.
And what's that mean? Nothing's going to happen.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm sorry, go on.
The real question is, where does public opinion go? And we'll see.
Well, I do know one thing that's going to happen. We're going to take a break.
Hey.
And then we're going to check traffic and weather together. So stay with us. It's 8:38 at KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals.
It's 8:42. One thing leads to another. And here we are with Hancock and Kelly. I'm Debbie Monterey. And there's been so much news coming out that I don't even know if people had time to pay attention to this one. But the independent report out about whether the FBI was biased against the president during investigating his campaign. Apparently, according to this report, the FBI acted properly when it began a broad investigation into whether then-candidate Donald Trump or people around him conspired with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election. This is according to the Justice Department's Inspector General. Here's what the president had to say about that report.
It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse.
All right. So it didn't say what the president wanted it to say. I'm concerned now that he is going to fire Christopher Wray, his FBI director.
His own selection for the FBI. I mean, and the FBI director's coming out and saying, look, we investigated facts. There's actually very good things in this for the president. The Steele dossier was paid for by the Clinton campaign. Now, the president can't have it both ways. He can't say, yeah, they're right about that in the IG report, but they're wrong about all the stuff about me being spied on. This president is a lunatic. He's going to go after his own FBI director today. What more do people need to see? I mean, there's such a pattern here that we see with this president. It's just insane. But John is going to go out and tell us now that we ought to look the other way and everything's fine, Kelly, and don't worry about
it. In fact, I'm not. You know, the FBI is a vital part of our internal national security and internal security apparatus. I think the report does show that the FBI didn't spy on the presidential campaign of Donald Trump. That's good. They didn't infiltrate the campaign with undercover agents. That's good. They did, however, make a series of mistakes, 17 of them enumerated in the report, that were at best sloppy and at worst nefarious. And those deserve to be taken seriously.
But everything else in there doesn't deserve to be taken
absolutely
seriously.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. At the end of the day, the American people need to have faith that the FBI is out looking out for America's best interest. And there is another investigation going on through Attorney General Barr, and we'll see what that yields. But I mean, the Inspector General is a highly respected investigator, and it's a thorough report. He does not have prosecutorial authority. And I take some comfort in the fact that the FBI doesn't look like it was out to get Donald Trump.
Do you take comfort in the fact that the president's attacking the director of the FBI, his own hand-selected individual, simply because the facts show the president was wrong?
Well, I don't like the fact. I think, you know, if the American public loses faith in law enforcement—
But it's being led by the president of the United States, John.
I understand what you're saying. If the American public loses faith in law enforcement, that's not good for the country. And it's not good for the country if we don't trust the workings and the findings of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I hope the American people retain faith in that institution.
Just remember, it is his own Justice Department. It is his own FBI that came out with this. And watch today. He's going to be a nut with his two thumbs going out and attacking his own FBI.
I thought another interesting finding of this, though, was for all the talk about how the Steele dossier was, this guy was biased against the president. It turns out Ivanka Trump is a good friend of Christopher Steele and that the Trump Organization actually tried to hire him themselves. So it sounds like he I don't know, was an equal opportunity person for hire.
Well, that was a very interesting revelation that came out of all of this. You know, I don't know how close they were, but they had a relationship going back to a decade or more and kind of kept up with each other on email and so forth. I did find that interesting.
Come on, is there any story that comes when as it relates to a mob crime family that surprises you? What is surprising? That the Trumps had their hands into the steel stuff. Nothing surprises me.
But don't lose sight of the fact that there were serious missteps made in the Justice Department as it related to FISA warrants, which are spying on American citizens in this case. That's serious.
And don't lose the fact that it's the President of the United States who's tearing down the institutions that you're saying you want to protect.
All right. On that note, we need to take a break here. 8:47 at KMOX.
In case you'd like to hear more.
There's more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's 8:52, round three of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and John Hancock. This is a local story that is getting some national attention. A teacher under fire for referencing the slave trade in an assignment at Blades Elementary in the Melville District. The teacher asked fifth graders during a social studies lesson last week to set a price for trading slaves. And the question read, one of them, "You own a plantation or farm and therefore need more workers. Set your price for a slave. These could be worth a lot." The school's principal called the assignment culturally insensitive, the teacher placed on leave, and the incident under investigation. What should happen to this teacher, John?
I don't know. I mean, of all the dumb ideas, who would think this is a good idea?
Right.
I mean, I would probably put the teacher in charge of the loop trolley. who would think this is? I mean, they're gonna lose their job here. I think.
Well, and they should. I mean, it's just stupid, right? I mean, come on, like you could come up with the idea and then think to yourself, this is not smart. And this person's educating kids.
You could teach the same lesson with farm workers. You need workers for your farm. Workers are hard to find in this economy. How much will you have to pay workers in order to get your farming done? And then what price will you need to sell your goods for? I mean, there's a lesson in here.
And it's hard to see what the pivot is to teaching kids that slavery's bad here. I mean, that's the problem that's just most confounding in my own brain.
Right. If you're going to try and teach a lesson on slavery and that people were seen as human beings were seen as a commodity to be sold.
Right. Where's the pivot?
I think
here?
That's important, but every child of color in that room must have felt horrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that somebody would think this is a good idea to. As an educational tool, I mean, it blows me away. It's a bad, bad, bad deal.
It's a big, beautiful, great assignment.
What's our out time here, Chris? Okay, real quickly, with all of this talk of impeachment and the president tweeting constantly and all of the controversies, I think we have lost sight of some very important things that affect everyday people, like healthcare and how to afford things. And a Gallup poll has found that 25% of Americans have put off treatment of a major medical issue this year because of the cost. And that is the highest percentage to answer that since they started asking this question in 2001. So, Michael Kelly, if the economy is so great and we're at full employment and health insurance is not an issue, why are 25% of Americans...
It is an issue, and it's what's going to be one of the main focuses of the Democratic candidate, whoever that one person winds up being nominated. You know, the president promised us he was going to fix Obamacare, he's going to do... Of course, it was a lie. He did none of that. The healthcare is one-third of the United States economy. I can't think of another industry that ever was that big. This is scary. And look at your own Facebook feeds. How many people are having a GoFundMe for some type of procedure that 5-6 years ago we weren't having to have these fundraisers for?
Yeah, healthcare is a problem. The solution of which is not to go with a universal coverage plan that we can't afford. And the reality is it's over 70, close to 80% of the American public is very happy with their private health care, health insurance that they have. What we need to be addressing are this 20-25% of the public that doesn't have good coverage And let's find a solution for that instead of blowing up the whole
system. What is the president's narrative? He said he was going to fix Obamacare. He's done nothing. Healthcare is a main issue. This is the Republican Party who says when it comes to guns, they're not a problem. Look the other way. When it's healthcare, everything's rosy. They don't have a record to run on. It's going to be a problem.
Obamacare didn't solve this problem. What it did is it created co-pays and premiums that people can't afford. That's the problem.
Okay, well, you guys can discuss that after the news at the top of the hour. It's 8:56.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.